The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Well, amen. It's good to see you this morning. Now, I was born in Alabama, and I was raised in Georgia. So I tell people, you don't get more southern than that, amen? So I may sound a little different to what you're used to hearing, amen? But I believe you'll be able to understand it with the help of the Lord, amen? I sure have enjoyed our visit at Parkside. Oh, man, what an honor. I love your pastor, what he stands for. Amen? Say amen right there. You know, some pastors out here today, you kind of wonder what they stand for. You don't have to wonder about your pastor. Amen? Good man. God's got his hand on him. You folks have a great opportunity here in this area to reach folks for Christ. I know I'm in Texas. Every restaurant they've taken me to, they didn't feed me on a plate. They fed me on a platter. About like this pulpit. I look at it and I say, come here, mama. We got to split this. I'm telling you, man, you folks really have something going around here. I appreciate it. I'm honored. I love you, Pastor. These men, we've gotten to know them a little bit. And it's been a great honor to just get to, you know, sit around and chew the fat. Amen. And get to know. Now, anybody ever heard that? Chew the fat. Is that Alabama, Georgia, whatever? But anyway, well, I'm glad. But it's good to be here. We sure have enjoyed ourselves. Thank you so much, preacher, for inviting us to be in your missions conference. I feel like the lightning bug that flew into the fan, and I'm delighted to be here. Amen. You get that about next week sometime. Think about it. At the end of the service, we have a table out here if you'd like to go by. Get one of our prayer cards, please. And get one of our radio cards. We may even have some radio program guides there. Help yourself. We have several free items. And so you go by there and see our daughter Shannon, and she'll help you with that. We need your prayers. Amen? And so I hope you'll do that. Turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 3. Now this is a very familiar portion of Scripture, but a great portion of Scripture. Amen? Before I read it, John chapter 3, we'll look at a portion here, but before I read it, I'd like to say this. What I would like to do today is to try to put a postscript on Dr. House's messages on giving. Today, I realize that some of you were not here maybe during the missions conference because of work, whatever. And I want to put a postscript on what he said. I just want to add a little to it if I can. He said that giving was mentioned in the Bible more times than love or believe. And that's true. I think it's over 2,100 times the word give or giving or some form of giving is given in the Word of God. You see, this Christian life and just life in general is kind of like this. Man says this, you show me and I'll believe you. You show me and I'll believe you. Amen. See, man wants to see something. The Bible even attests to that because it said a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Now, no one would like to think they're a wicked and adulterous generation. Amen. But you got to be careful because man says, if you'll show me God, I'll believe you. But you know what God says? God says, if you'll believe, I'll show you. Hey, some of you in here could attest to that. Some of you in here could stand up and give a testimony right now, no doubt. How that you by faith trusted Christ to do something. I heard someone, maybe your preacher, said yesterday, it's strange how people can trust Jesus with their eternal soul, I mean, and not die and go to hell, and yet can't trust God for our everyday needs and our blessings. We manipulate, we try everything in the world. You know what I mean? Just, we're all like that. Everybody's like that. But God says, believe me, take my word, and then I'll show you. And he does. I'm going to make a feeble effort this morning. I no doubt it will be. But with your prayers and the help of the Holy Spirit, I want to consider two things this morning. One is God's love and God's gift, and then man's gift and God's love and his love. Now, this is not a bombastic message. Don't intend to be, but you're going to have to listen on purpose. As a matter of fact, I really don't even have an outline. You may catch something here and there you'd like to write down. As I read some scripture, there may be some you'd like to jot down and look up later. But there's a great truth here in John chapter 3, and I want to speak to you what I call this morning the giving cycle. The giving cycle. Look at John chapter 3 and verse number 12. Says this in verse number 12, John chapter 3. If I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Amen? I'm glad you got a pastor that tells heavenly things. And some of these men around here, we need to hear that. I need to hear it. Earthly things you can hear all the time. I want to hear something from heaven, amen? Verse 13, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. God help us to do that today. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God, you know this verse, most everybody in here, probably, maybe not everybody, but for God so loved the world. What did he do? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And by the way, that have there, and this is just a tag, this is not a part of the message, but that have there does not mean you get everlasting life when you die and leave this world. You get everlasting life now. You have it. If you're sitting here in here today and you're saved and on your way to heaven, you've been born again, you've trusted Christ, right now today you have everlasting life. The moment you got saved. I hope you remember that. Let's pray, and let me share some things with you about the giving cycle. Heavenly Father, bless this morning. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit, dear God. Lord, we love you. We want to serve you. God, help us now. Speak to us. Holy Spirit of God, you know the needs of every person in this room. And Father, especially if someone's not saved, I pray today they would come to Christ. Lord, don't put it off any longer, but trust Christ and have everlasting life from this point on. And Lord, bless us now, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the first thing I want to look at is this: God's love and giving. Now, you'll notice in our text verse, John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "And so God so loved. God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved the world that he gave." You with me there? God loved, so he gave. God loved, so he gave. Now, this is his cycle. We're talking about God and how he operates just for a few minutes. All right, now stay with me. The cycle of giving here does not begin here for God. This is not the beginning of God's love. For we know that God gave when he created the world. As a matter of fact, the theme of giving is very prominent in the Bible. I mentioned a while ago, 2,100 times, over 2,100 times, the theme is prominent. It's given over and over and over again on this idea of giving. Matter of fact, the first one we find is in Genesis 1, 16 and 17, when God created the sun, moon, the stars, and it said to give light upon the earth. Amen? I like light. Amen. I'm glad in heaven one day it's not going to get dark. I really am. I really am. When I was a little boy, an even younger man, we lived in a house that you could cut the light off and you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. Any of y'all live like that right now? It's dark. Boy, it gets dark when you turn the light out. Usually I'm so sleepy that when I turn the light out, by the time it gets dark, I'm asleep. Amen. But now I've got to have and some of you like this too. Don't laugh. Don't look up here. You got to have a little night light. Just a little night light. Amen. You don't want it to be totally dark. But I'm so glad. Here's what he said. He gave light upon the earth. The last mention of this idea of giving is found in Revelation 22, 12, when Christ will return with his rewards to give every man according as his work shall be. It says right there in Revelation 22, 12. Now, he gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, as well as life and breath and all things, the Bible tells us in Acts 14 and Acts 17. He gave us all things. Boy, what a God we serve. Amen? Amen. Now, in our text verse, John 3:16, we notice God so loved that he gave. The little word so here, and this is why I said I'm going to make a feeble effort. I don't know if it can be explained. You see, the little word so here gives us some concept of the magnitude of God's love for the world, for the world existence of mankind that ever has been or ever will be the magnitude. Many verses in the Bible remind us of God's love for man. We read over in Jeremiah 31:3, God hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee. I have loved thee. Where did God's love start? It never started. Amen. Started with God. He said in Jeremiah 31:3, he said, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Everlasting love. Amen. And he said, therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Romans 5, verse number 8, one of our soul-winning verses, and it says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. You know what I like about that verse, folks? I would rather God say, I really would rather God say, because I've had this to happen. I'm glad that John 3:16 does not say, for God so loved Gary Barnes. Aren't you? You know why? I've met some other Gary Barnes. Oh, there's some around in this world. I've got some of their phone calls and things like that. Used to be one played for the Atlanta Falcons many years ago. I got some of his calls. If it said, for God so loved Gary Barnes, I would always wonder if God was talking about me or that other one. But he says, for God so loved the world. And you know what that does? I know that includes me. Amen. Amen. I don't know who you are in here today, but I got news for you. God loves you. Amen. He so loves you. Yes. Now, Ephesians 2 verses 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Amen. I mean, dead in sins. Preachers say this sometimes, and I know I've said it, and I know what they mean. They say, this old world is dying and going to hell. People are dying and going to hell. Yeah, they're dying all right. Oh, they're dying physically. We have Christians that do that. No, they're not dying and going to hell. They're already dead. According to my Bible in Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, dead in trespasses and sins. And him hath he quickened. That word quickened means he made alive. Amen. When I was an 11-year-old boy, I went into a church dead and came out alive. Amen. I hope you'll do that today if you're here and you're not saved. Now, I don't mean to be rude in that. And I know you feel like I'm crazy maybe. But spiritually speaking, that's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must. You must. We don't vote on it. Amen. I mean, you must be born again. Told Nicodemus that. Now, I'm going to run through this pretty quick, but can you imagine in the Garden of Eden what it was like? We read in Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man. Oh, man, so much good stuff here. I'm hitting the high points. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Man. What a job. I mean, he said, I'm going to make man, I'm going to put him in charge of everything. I'm just going to make him and he's going to be in charge, okay? Boy, what a responsibility. Verse 27, Genesis 1:27. So God created man, and I like this part. Now, I mean, I just like it, in his own image. He didn't have to do that. He didn't make a horse in his own image. He didn't make a cow in his own image, but he made man. Now listen, let me go on. In the image, he created him male. Hey, listen, world. Listen, Washington. Listen, California. Listen, Texas. Listen, Georgia. He made them male and female. Amen. Oh, boy, I get hung up on that. I got to go. Verse 31, and the Lord saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Notice he says that it was very good that God had made. He was very pleased, and he loved what he had made. John, 1 John 14 and verse 16 says it like this, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. And here I like this. Three words. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. And God in him. That's hard to understand in the King James. Amen. Hard to understand. Now imagine all of God's creation. All of God's creation was enveloped in love. Because it was enveloped in God. It came out of the mind of God, and God is love. I see it now. And you could do it, you could say this without doing any damage to the scripture. You could say, for God, for love, so loved the world. Amen. Everywhere in the Bible you see God, you could put love. Because God is love. I just thought I'd mention that. Anyway, can you see it now? Adam and Eve frolicking in the garden, having a grand time, fellowshipping and talking with their creator, God. God told them, he said, I want you to replenish the earth. I want you to subdue it. And that would be a blessing to them. And I'll bless you if you'll do this, verse 28. So God was so pleased with his work that he took a day off and he rested. He loved Adam and Eve so much. He told them to tend the garden. And he said they could eat of every tree in the garden except one. Every tree except one. That was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, he didn't want them to know evil. And they already knew good because they knew him. They didn't have to know good. Oh, listen. Here's what happened. He warned them that eating of that tree would kill them. Young people, hey, you better listen to your parents. Say, well, mom and dad and your preacher and these other men that work with you, because they try and keep you alive. This whole world will kill you. That's what the devil's after. He wants to kill you. I mean, he don't want to just get you into sin. I mean, that's fine if he can start there. But he is absolutely out to kill you. All right? So God told him, he said, you eat of that tree, you're going to die. He wanted to establish full obedience right then and there. You see, God knew there was a devil because he knew Lucifer had fallen from heaven. But he loved them so much and he wanted them to obey him instead of Lucifer. See, disobedience never turns out right. Disobeying God, as a matter of fact, is called sin in the Bible. 1 John 3 and verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. God warned them what would happen if they chose to sin. In Romans 6:23, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Now Adam and Eve sinned. Thus we have the fall of man, we call it. And God came to the garden. He called for them to come out and to spend time with him like they had done before. And they tried to hide themselves. I believe God was brokenhearted at that point. I really do. But he always keeps his word. Hey, young folks, hey, all of us, God keeps his word. And he said, I love them so much, but they must die. I told them what would happen. He said, I made them, but they must die. He said, I have a wonderful plan for them, but they must die. He said, I not only love them, but I love every child that they will ever have, but they also must die, and all their descendants that come after them must die. Then he said, I got one plan. I know what I'll do. Since I made them in the image of myself, that means that they have a body, a soul, and a spirit. I'll let their body die, but I'll make an atonement for their soul so that it can live forever. And in that atonement, I'll give myself. Because I love them so much, the death penalty has been passed upon them, that I will die in their place, and if they will believe in my atonement and trust in me, I'll let them live with me again forever in perfect fellowship and love. Then he said, look at them. They know they disobeyed me. He walked into the garden and called for them. He said, they know they disobeyed me. And now they have the knowledge of good and evil, and to cover themselves, they made fig leaves of aprons to wear. Man's still trying to cover himself. Oh yeah, still trying to cover himself, some feeble, feeble way. You see, Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Then God said, to prove my love for them, I'll kill an animal. I personally believe it was a lamb. But he killed an animal as a symbol that I will come. And it was purely a symbol that one day he was going to come and die for them. John the Baptist looked up in John chapter 1 and verse 29. He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away, I like that too, amen, the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. He said, then if they, and all their children, and all their descendants that will come after them will continue to offer the blood of a sacrificial lamb for their sins to show that they believe that I'm coming. All those Old Testament people that, those Jews, whatever, those people that killed animals, all they were doing was saying, I believe he's coming. I believe he's coming. They took that blood and put it on the altar. They said, that's what's going to happen one day when he comes. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. That was obedience. That particular animal didn't have any power within itself. It wasn't the power of the blood of the animal. It's the power of God's blood through Jesus Christ. He's coming one day, and he said, I'm coming in a body of a man, born of a virgin, and I'll die for them, and I'll shed my blood for them, and then I'll save their soul and give them eternal life and a home in heaven with me forever and ever and ever. That's how much he loved them and us. And God made a promise that day. He said in Genesis 3:14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Just the heel. And that's what happened when they hung Jesus on the cross. Of course, now, devil's still trying to brew the heel. I got another message I preach about foot trouble. Preacher, some churches have foot trouble. Just on account of that right there. Devil's done brewed their heel. Oh yeah, they don't want to get out and not walk around neighborhoods and knock on doors. They got foot trouble. Amen. He said, I love them and I don't want them to go to hell. I didn't make them to burn in everlasting fire. You see, we don't need to overlook the lesson about love and giving. God loved and he gave. See, the greatest gift that was ever given was when God gave himself for a lost and undeserving world. It was the greatest gift because it met the greatest need. It revealed the greatest love. And it had the greatest scope, the whole world. And it had the greatest purpose of any gift that could ever be conceived in the heart of an omniscient creator. That was not the end of his giving, of course. Romans 8:32 says, and he that spared not his own son but delivered him up. Now listen to this. For us. He delivered him up for us all. How shall he? He gave him there to die for us. But how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If you believe that, there shouldn't be a person in here don't give to Faith Promise Missions. If you believe that, is he freely going to give you all things? That's what it says. Now, what a wonderful and blessed cycle of giving. Started with love, and God gave. It brought about the love of God. Now, 1 John 4:10, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Oh, I could go on. Let me jump on down here. I want to give you this. Now, we talked about God's cycle of giving. He loved and he gave. He loved and he gave. He loved and he gave. Now, what's man's cycle? Well, I hate to tell you this. Man's built backwards. Our feet smell and our nose runs. Amen? Amen? I'm telling you, we're built backwards. Amen. I was thinking about the Sunday school lesson in the record of Abraham and Isaac. See, folks, here's what it comes down to. In the record of Abraham giving Isaac on the altar, most all y'all familiar with that. God didn't want Isaac. Abraham told him, Isaac looked up at him, can you imagine? Can you imagine this son and this dad? And Isaac looks up at his dad and he said, hey, dad, I see the sticks and I see the makings for the fire and I see the knife and I see all of that, but where is the sacrifice? And oh, Abraham, because he had faith in God and believed God, he believed God.
Amen.
Bible says he did.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Abraham said, well, God will provide him a sacrifice.
Yes,
he'll provide a lamb. He'll provide.
Amen.
So there he was. I honestly believe with all my heart. I don't know how you believe about it, but I believe God, I believe Abraham thought that if he killed his son right then, God would raise him from the dead. I believe that.
Amen.
Just as sure as I'm standing here.
Amen.
You know what it was? Hey, listen, folks. God didn't want Isaac. God wanted Abraham. He wanted to know if Abraham was really with him. Do you really believe me? Do you really love me? And see, that's still going on today. I want you to take your Bible, turn to two places, and hold it there. One's in Luke, Luke chapter 6. Now, this last section of this message, and I'm going to try to get done as quick as I can, but this last section of this message, those are the two key verses. One's in Luke 6, the other one is in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, Luke 6. Okay? God loved the world. He had created so much that he gave. But remember now, God is love. You're not love. God is love, okay? It doesn't work that way with us. Sinners, we're sinners. We're not love like God is. God says it started. God says it starts if we would just obey. Now listen, if we would obey his command to give. God loved, so he gave. God is love. God tells you and me, you give. You give. And then let's see what happens. You know what it says? Malachi chapter 3, we use that a lot of times. But that's sort of just a pump primer. Amen? It applies. It's Old Testament. Dr. John R. Rice didn't think it meant a storehouse. I could get a little technical about that. I'll tell you the honest truth. I don't know, but what I don't agree with him a little bit. I think in this age in which we live, I don't even know if there should be a tithe. Huh? I mean, tithe is 10%, isn't it? What if I don't give him 20%? I can't do that because I'm violating Scripture. No, I think you say, God, a tithe, that's yours to start with. He already said tithe is the Lord's.
Yeah.
You know what? You hadn't given anything if you give a tithe.
Right.
You just broke even.
Right.
I hope there's no God robbers in the house here, but there might be. And if you don't give, you rob God. Malachi chapter 3 says this. And look at it with me if you will. Notice what it says. Let me make sure I can find it. All right, here I am. And it says, Malachi 3, verse 7, even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances. See, God has some ordinances he wanted them to keep. They've not kept them. Return unto me, and I'll return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? They had gone away from God. And I mean, and what did they do? They wouldn't even give it. So the next subject tells us, will a man rob God? What's that got to do with turning away from God? Listen to me up here. Will a man rob God? That's the next question in verse number 8. Ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes. I like this part right here. Offerings. You don't start giving till you get to an offering. Hey, listen. Forgive me, I hope you don't get mad at me. I'm an evangelist, amen. But you don't give God anything till you get to the offering. That's why I like the New Testament. You know, there's no set. Matter of fact, you know what? New Testament, if we had time to do it, you're supposed to, it all belongs to him. You're supposed to give it all to him, really. Not just 10%, all of it. All right, now here's what it says. Look at it. Ye are cursed with a curse. I think about this. When I read this preacher, I thought of this. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. And you know what I thought, and I got to hurry here. But I used to hate. Now, you notice what God says in those first three verses? He gives you a strong warning. Oh, but he can't hold his love down. Can't hide his love. All my kids are grown. I got seven of them. They're all grown. These four are still at home. And God's let them stay home with us and work with us in the ministry. The other three are married and have families here and there. I told Mama, I said, if you quit feeding them, maybe they'll leave. Well, she didn't and they didn't. Amen. But I used to hate, maybe some of you know what I'm talking about. I used to hate to threaten my kids. I hated that. I hated that. Still do. If you don't do so and so, I'm going to block, 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 block. I hate that. I want to just be able to say, son, daughter, you need to do this and this and this. I don't want to hang a threat on the end of it. I'd much rather they just say, all right, now watch what they did with the nation of Israel here. He threatened them, but then, oh my, here comes his love. Malachi 3:10. Hey, folks, he's still doing this. Malachi 3, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house and prove me. Of course, you know the tithe was for the priest and the Levites and all of them. It was to take care of them. But anyway, now, he said, there may be meat in my house to prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Now watch. He said, prove me. If I will not open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. He's just going to love no matter what. Why didn't he just say, you don't give and you're cursed with a curse? No, he comes back and he says, now let me tell you what happens when you do give. I'm going to open the windows of heaven. And there won't even be room enough. The room ain't big enough to hold it. Amen. You see, here it comes down to this. It's right here. There's always a blessing when we obey God. I honestly believe this, preacher. Listen to me, folks. I love you. I love you, preacher, and I love these men, and I love this church. I love what you're doing, so therefore I love you. Amen. I love you because you're sitting here. But I'll tell you this. If a person doesn't give, they're probably not going to read their Bible very often. They're probably not going to pray much. They're surely probably not going to win souls. They're not going to do it. They may fake it for a little while. They're not going to do it. You know what else? They're not going to have any standards. Their music's going to be wrong. See, if the devil's got you in his grip in that area, he'll have you in some other areas too. Oh, he loves it. Oh, that church wants my money. Huh? God don't need your money. We're talking about God. No, you need it. You need it. I need it. You know why? I need to be obedient. Here's how it works. Here it is. We start giving out of obedience. This is the beginning of everything in the Christian life once you're saved. You'll never be a good Christian if you don't give, okay? And so you get baptized, you get saved, you get baptized, join the church, start reading your Bible, start praying. But the very next step is giving. Tithe and offering, giving. Okay, if you don't do that, you're not going any further. You're always going to be a baby. So you see, it starts with obedience. This is the beginning. Here it is. Here it is. Look up here. Look up here, young people. Everybody look up here. Just obey. Okay? That's number one. Number two, here it is. Now watch this. As you obey, then you get closer to God. You understand more things about God. I love you, preacher. You know why? Because I've gotten to know him. I know what kind of man he is. I know what he stands for. Man, I love this guy. I hadn't even been knowing him real long time. Not really knowing him. But let me tell you what happens when you obey. Young people, you listen to me. If you'll obey your mama and your daddy and your pastor and these men that work with you, do you know what will happen? A marvelous thing will take place one day. Trust me. I know what I'm talking about. You'll begin to love them. And the more you obey, the more you'll love. It works that way with God. I told you we was built backwards, didn't I? Human beings are a mess. Oh yeah, that's why he said we're sinners. But you know what? He's got a great plan. And that plan is to trust Jesus and be saved and get started obeying God. And then as you obey him, all of a sudden one day, without you even knowing it, you'll begin to love him. You'll wake up one day and boy, you'll say, man, I sure do love God. Oh, I love the Lord. And then you'll want to serve him not out of command, not because he said do it. No, you'll want to serve him because you love him. All right, here it is. Now, I got to hurry. God so loved that he gave. God gets over here and tells us to give. And then you'll love. Now watch this. John 14 verse 21 says this. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Obedience and then love. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Verse 23 says this. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. You see, but let me tell you, I got to tell you this. Love for God does not grow out of disobedience. Grows out of obedience. Now, I'm going to hurry. Turn with me and let's look at those verses and then I'll close, okay? I got to get done here. Let's start over here with Luke 6. Now, you know this. Luke 6 and verse 38. Now, here's what happens. You see, man, here I'm talking about the cycle of giving. God loves, and then he gives. Here's what happens with man. You obey, and then you begin to love God. And you keep obeying. You keep obeying. You keep obeying and loving and loving. And the next thing you know, you love the same thing he loves. And that's other people. That's others. That's when you get interested in missions and ministries out to the projects or whatever. You get interested because God's interested. And it started over there with you obeying God. And then loving God. And then loving what God loves. And then giving to what God gives to. God so loved the world that he gave. Amen. Look with me, if you will, at Luke 6, verse 38. You're familiar with this probably. Give. Now, I'm going to stop right there. I have some of these things, and you know this is true. You probably do this too. They're called trigger verses in the Bible. Trigger verses. You can put a slash right there after give. That's your job. And if you put a slash right there, everything after that is God's job. Give. He didn't even have to say this. But here's his love again. Here it is, folks. Here it is. You believe it? Here it is. Give. And it shall be given unto you. You remember that windows of heaven thing? There it is right there in the New Testament. Amen. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men, M-E-N, men. Amen. M-E-N, men, give into your bosom. I can't tell you what people have given me. I can't tell you. It'd take too long, preacher. We'd have chaos around here, amen? But he said, it's enough, listen to me, for him to say, give. Now watch, turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 21. These are the two key verses on you giving and on me giving. Here it is. Matthew 6, verse 21. Notice what it says now. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know what God wants from you? I could go into more. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 5, that great treatise on Christian giving, church giving. 2 Corinthians 8, 5, it's in 9, it's in 8. But here's what it says in verse number 5 of chapter 8. They gave themselves first. They gave themselves to the Lord first. Some of you in here today have you ever really given yourself to God? From the bottom of your feet to the top of your head, you say, God, I'm just going to come up and lay myself on the altar as a sacrifice. I'm going to lay myself, surrender. I'm going to give myself to you. Everything I got. Job said this. I love it. I call it, excuse me, preacher, I'm not trying to be vulgar. If you take it that way, then you're not very scriptural on this. I call it the naked principle. Oh, Job was a rich man. You know what he said? Naked came I out of my mother's womb.
Right.
And naked. You know how you're going out of this world, folks? Naked.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, you ain't going to have nothing.
Right.
You going out like you come in with nothing.
Right.
And Job said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
You see, that's the way it works. God loves, so he gives. We obey and give. And then we begin to love. And we keep doing it until we love like he loves. And we start loving other people and then giving to other people. I hope that makes sense to you today. I hope you let God speak to your heart. If you hadn't already got in on this missions giving, just ask the Lord what he wants you to give. And don't try to figure it out in your budget. Don't do that. If you try to figure it out in your budget, the old devil will get in it and he'll tell you, you can't do that. You'll think $50. You'll think $100, and the devil will come along and say, no, you've got to reduce that down to 10. You can't give $100, you've got to give 10. Amen? That's what will happen. You see, it's all about this giving cycle. Are you in it? The greatest thing that ever was given was Jesus Christ to die for your sins. Maybe you're here today and you never have received the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23, that is the gift. It's not through the Baptist church, not through the baptistry. It's not through being a Catholic or a Methodist or anybody else, okay? It's through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
We're going to have an invitation. We're going to bow for prayer in just a minute. But look, if you're here this morning, you're not 100% sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven. You need to get up and come down this aisle. There'll be men down here to meet you. And they'll help you. They'll take the Bible. I mean the Bible. And they'll make sure you understand what it takes. God so loved you, so loved the world. That's you. That's you and me. That he gave. Would you give your heart to him this morning? Some of you Christians, would you give yourself to him?
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.